Welcome to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. It's the last Tuesday in June.
Can't believe June's already gone.
Yep.
We're chugging right along towards my favorite time of the year. Fall.
Yes.
Football.
It is coming up. Summer just started, Bear. Can we relax and enjoy summer? Can we enjoy the warm weather?
I'm looking forward to football.
I was going to say 4th of July, like, you know.
Yeah, hot dogs, a little golf, maybe some barbecue.
I'm ready for football.
Swimming. You just want to skip the best part of the year and go right to football season? But a little anticipation. Let it build up for a while.
It was like 61 days now.
65, I think. I think it was 66 yesterday.
I think so, yeah.
For Tennessee.
College football
in general, that probably means – so we play on a Thursday, so it'll be 5 days before that, so maybe 60 days?
60, it was 61 yesterday, I guess. And then pro is – what? 75?
They're usually a week after college, right?
I think they're two this year.
Two? Okay.
After week zero.
Well.
But it's a – It's coming.
It's coming. It will be here, whether you want it to be or not.
I want it.
College football will be played, and it's a much anticipated year. Here, I think there's some buzz. I think there's some buzz around town. You sense it.
So how long has it been? I guess since Dobbs, since we knew going into football season who our quarterback was.
Quarterback. What about it? Oh, since 20, was that the last time? Well, we knew Garantano was going to be the man. You knew Garantano. Oh, yeah. Like, I know you've tried to block that we've all tried to block that out of our imagination.
Do you not remember what happened in that game?
What game?
The game in what? The one in the Georgia Dome or the Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, that was 2017. I was there.
Yeah. There was all kinds of quarterback controversy.
That was his second year. That was his redshirt freshman year. You realize he played like 10 years after that. Seemed like it was 10 years.
I kind of don't feel like he was a cemented starter going in there.
He was the absolute cemented starter in 2019 and 2020. Oh, yeah. Do you not remember the conversations we had on this? You were here.
It's kind of like asking somebody who was, you know, abducted and tortured if they remember their abduction and torture.
I mean, he might not have been a good solidified starting quarterback, but he was the solidified starter. Because I remember I had to pretend, as Phil likes to say. People would call in and be like, are we really going to go into another year with this guy as our starting quarterback? And I had to be, well, he's completed 67% of his passes against teams that play in a dome. Like I don't know. You had to remember all the stupid numbers that people would come up with to convince themselves that Garantano didn't suck?
I mean, it wasn't just us. I mean, Tennessee did. TV people did.
And after 3 months of that in the summer, by the time September rolled around, like, you say something enough, you'll actually start to kind of believe it, and you find yourself, well, maybe it would be okay. Maybe he'll be all right. He can't be any worse, right? He's got to get better. People improve with practice. And then he was just the same guy every year. He was just so bad. And it's not his fault. He's on the Cardinals roster. More power to him, man. Maybe he wasn't that bad. I don't know. All I know is every time he took the field, something terrible happened. He had the worst body language of any quarterback I've ever seen.
We're talking about Garantano, huh?
You started it.
We can at least say that this is the first time since Dobbs we've known who the starter is and
have been confidence. And been excited about
it. Yeah, have confidence.
You weren't excited about Garantano?
What? No.
No. No, nobody was.
I had high hopes for Maurer, but
in 2018, Pruitt's first year, I think there was a little bit of excitement with Garantano, right? Because it was new coach, new head coach, new offensive system. It was, you could have said, well, the only reason he is a five-star, right? And the only reason he wasn't any good was because of Butch Jones and Larry Scott and all that stuff. And like now that he's got a competent head coach, so we thought Pruitt was a competent head coach. We wanted him to be a competent. I remember going up to West Virginia, going to Charlotte to play West Virginia. You thought maybe. Maybe he had a little something. Maybe
yeah, I mean, we didn't realize
he
was Bobby Boucher.
And then the next year, it's like, okay, Jim Chaney's back in 2019.
Felt pretty good.
It's his third year playing, so he's really experienced at this point. Like,
always seemed like a really good kid. Figured he'd work fine with Chaney.
Yeah, it seemed okay. And then you open the season with Georgia State. Okay, and that should have been it, right? After that, we should have been, okay, like he just wasn't that good. He's a five-star. You always miss. Sometimes there's a three-star that plays like a five-star. Sometimes there's a five-star that plays like a two-star. There's just, you never know. It's recruiting, and we missed on one. That should have been it. That should have been it. We should have known that at that point, the experiment was over. It was done. But no. Jeremy Pruitt was determined.
All right.
Jeremy Pruitt was going to show us all what a great quarterback developer he was.
Cornbread.
He was going to pound that square peg into that round hole, ladies and gentlemen, and show everybody that Jared Garantano was who we thought he was. COVID or no COVID, he sent him out there. He sent him out there. You remember that rainbow he threw to Josh Palmer in the corner of the end zone in Columbia? Start off the year 2020, the COVID year. You remember that ball? It was a beautiful ball. He threw a nice deep ball every now and then.
Every once in a while.
You remember what it felt like to see the team run into the tunnel at halftime against Georgia down there between the hedges after that goal line stand by Henry and thinking, hey, here we go. Here we go. He threw a nice rainbow to Palmer again in that game, too, for a touchdown. Remember, after the fumble, we get it back. He, boo, just dropped a dime.
Now, I've honestly kind of blocked a lot of that out.
Here comes Garantano. Here we go. Were we 3-0 at that point? 2-0, maybe?
Something like that.
And you're thinking, here we go. We got this.
Let's go.
We go at halftime. I remember doing my halftime periscope. We're all fired up. We're ready to go. We're screaming. We're all hollering, yeah. Then the second half started. Was it the second or third snap of the second half? He drops back, just like gets decapitated.
Oh, yeah.
He got crushed. Never saw it coming. The ball like goes flying 30 yards behind him. Georgia picks it up. Next thing, it's like 45-21. We're getting bent over a barrel to show the 50 states. And it's like, whoa, what happened? I thought it was JG time. I thought it was ready. I thought we were ready to go. Little did we know.
What year is it again?
We had checked in to the Hotel Garantano.
Check that off my list for the day.
You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. Are we out, Bear? Are we out? I know it's been a full year, but...
No. No, we're never out.
I keep waiting for it to be like that movie with John Cusack where he's in the hotel room. And what was it, like room 435 or something? And he thinks he's out. He's got out. He's walking to the post office. Then all of a sudden, the walls start peeling down. He's back in there. I'm back in Hotel Garantano. We're all fired up, ready for we're going to beat Pitt this year because we're starting the right quarterback this time. And all we get the ball. We win the toss. We want the ball, man. We want to put our offense out there first. And you can't wait for Hendo Sanko to come out there. And you're like, what? Did Hendon change number? Why is he wearing number 2?
Oh, God.
What? Wait, who's that? What? What? No, 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 no!
Certainly not.
Ah.
It was a rough time, man.
It's not going to happen.
Where does Hotel Garantano rank on our list of completely dumb but funny?
I did not plan this. I did not plan to spend the first 10 minutes of the show ripping on Garantano. Did not plan. I have a story up about basketball. Actually, they released the hoop schedule for SEC. They released the SEC opponents. We know who we're going to play. Got a home and home with Auburn. Bruce Pearl, we play him twice this year.
God, of course we do.
I was going to talk about that, but no.
We're in the Hotel Garantano, buddy.
Apparently, Bear planned it. He checked it off a list. He's got an agenda today.
It's summer goals.
Well, no, this all started with a patented Bear, just like rectally derived. I'm just going to throw this out there, this nonsense.
No, we're not starting this week.
Yes,
you first day back in the studio,
this is
and
what
you're
happened.
Trying to assassinate
this
my
is
character
what happened.
Yet again.
This is what happened. Within the first 2 minutes of the show, you said, is this the first year since Josh Dobbs that we knew who were the quarterbacks? It's like, no.
I feel like there was quarterback controversy every summer.
Are you forgetting the year before last year? It's literally been a year. It's literally been one season. Has this been the first year?
Well, they played every quarterback on the roster even when Garantano was here. They went down. You guys went down to Atlanta. Who did we start that night?
Well, that was Dormady. That's what I'm telling you, though, bro.
I mean, like, I can't even keep up with the names on all these guys.
There were three seasons after that, all of which Garantano was the firmly entrenched starter.
And we should have rioted over that.
I know Jeremy Pruitt was the coach all 3 years. You want to block that out of your memory, but that's how we started this.
Cornbread.
He did the Jeremy Pruitt image rehab tour it's ongoing. Did you see where he did another one? Did another interview?
Yes, I did. He's talking about Kirby Dumb, right?
He's kissing Kirby Smart's ring. I mean, that's a pretty smart play by him.
But he ain't never getting a sniff back there. It has nothing to do with his alleged colossal mess ups here at Tennessee. He's not very popular down there in Athens. After all that stuff went down with
he's
the whole end of the Mark, you know, when he was there with Rick.
He can't be picky at all. He's got to take whatever he can get. And I think he's just like, if somehow I'm able to emerge relatively unscathed here, maybe Kirby will let me be an analyst and I can get my foot back in. He knows he's not being a head coach. He's not being a coordinator. He's probably not even going to be a position coach anytime soon. He just wants his foot in. So, yeah, he was on with Mike Griffith on Griff's podcast.
Oh, he's on with Griff?
Yeah, he was talking about Kirby and all the great things he's done and how outstanding Kirby is. I think the one thing Kirby has done an outstanding job with is getting his staff to buy into complimentary football. You look at this past year, they had one of the best defenses in the history of college football. And then you look at the offensive staff, and they were very efficient. So, yeah, he's kissing Kirby's ring. He knows Nick Saban knows where his loyalty lies. He's just got to make sure Kirby knows he's still out there.
I mean, you can't. How's he going to be an analyst? Nobody's going to touch him until after the NCAA rules on him. And do any of us think
he's laying the groundwork?
What, to get an analyst job 10 years from now when a show causes up?
He doesn't know it's going to be 10 years. Maybe it's 2 years. Maybe it's 3 years. Maybe the NCAA never gets around to ruling on it because of the NCAA and they're a toothless, feckless organization. I don't know.
It's a great point, Russ.
He's just taking a shot. He's just taking his shot. The Jeremy Pruitt image rehab tour.
I don't mind this nearly as much as Niedermeyer. With his trolling tweet last week when we lost, who was it? This is how little I care about recruiting.
The receiver that went to Ohio State, right?
Yeah, what was his name?
Tate. Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing it smarter. I mean, Pruitt is saying the right things, but
how dumb do you have to be that Jeremy Pruitt is playing it smarter than you?
Yeah. Looks like we might have a special guest. set to join us here in just a moment.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure yet, but I'm 90% sure we're going to have a very special guest when we come back from this break. So, stay with us. If you're a Tennessee baseball fan in particular, you will want to stay tuned. Hope I don't swing and miss on this one. Stay tuned to find out. We fly by the seat of our pants this afternoon. It is The Drive. Do not try this at home. Trained radio professionals at work. We're back with more quality sports-related entertainment for the masses right after this on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire back with you. Marcus Young hanging out as well. Trying to run down a special guest. I think Ben Joyce is about to join us.
Try and get connected.
So we are working on that behind the scenes. In the meantime, let's grab a call from D.R. Ball. Good afternoon, D.R. Ball. You're on The Drive.
Hey, guys. I won't take long since he's coming on. Bear, do you not remember that year that Pruitt came out and said J.G. was the only starter?
J.G., well, yeah.
I mean, I blocked out a lot of it.
He's still the guy.
Admittedly, D.R. I mean, can you blame me?
Miserable day. No, I don't blame you at all. I know that 2020 season, I was, you know, intoxicated most of those games. I couldn't even get through without calling in to Davey and talking to him during the games. What do y'all think was more painful, Butch's last year or Pruitt's last year? I'm going to go with 2020 because I was actively rooting for my team to lose, a place I never thought I'd be in my head.
Yeah, I've flirted with that. That's a bad spot to be in. I've been there several times in football and basketball through the years. But I hate to admit that, but it's true. I think most hardcore fans can identify some level. I know there's some people like, oh, I've never been there. And hey, man, more power to you. I wish I could say the same. But they were both pretty dark. I think 2017 was more of a disaster just because of the coaching search, the way it unfolded, the Shiano Sunday mess, everything that went down, the way John Curry let Butch Jones twist in the wind for about 5 weeks longer than he should have. That was just a prolonged, like, two-month debacle. 2020 was a year-long debacle, and, like, you had the COVID stuff and, you know, the way the world stopped that spring or summer, whenever it was, and didn't even know if we're going to have the season. They were both disasters, but I feel like the 2017 year was just a little bit more grueling, perhaps.
I don't know. I never once 2017 pulled my team to lose. I mean, hell, the Florida game, I bet on Florida to cover, and we get the ultimate screw job. I'll never forget that voluntary reaction. I'm going to go back and listen to that one night when I'm in a dark place. Remember how mad you are, Russ. We couldn't even get our money.
We couldn't get our money.
Yeah, the Florida game. Remember they covered at the end.
Oh,
I had bet Florida hundreds of dollars. Hundreds.
I wiped out my FanDuel account. I was so sure. Was, oh, man, I was so mad. Yeah, there were peaks of anger like during those two scenes. I remember when Butch was playing Missouri. Remember when Florida beat LSU in that makeup game to clinch the East and we were playing Missouri? I remember being so mad that day, just angry at Butch. And then when Tennessee backdoored Florida, backdoor covered Florida in 2020 at the end of that year, that meaningless touchdown at the end of Vellis, I think it was, just being like, really? Really? We can't even get paid off this. We can't even secure the emotional hedge here. We just have to wallow in the misery of losing both the game and the bets. Really? Oh, it's brutal.
Peak Tennessee. That's why I'm kind of worried we don't even have construction finished for this season. I will hang up this. Caller Nick from yesterday, I thought he had some really good points, especially there at the end. You have a good day.
Okay. All right.
What did he – I can't remember what Nick said there
Nick,
at the end.
Nick told me to go to hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Is that really bothering you?
No, I mean, it's just – it was a stray that I was unexpected of you know –
you got to always expect.
I understand. I didn't vote for DR, so I get his shots at me. Understandable. I voted for Philly. Nick,
You're getting a little baptism by fire here lately, Marcus.
I don't know what's going on.
But you know, we haven't even taken off the gloves yet, really.
I know, and that's what's more fearful at this point. But you know what?
Mild-mannered Marcus Young just comes in, does his job every day, does it pretty – I'm sure he didn't screw up the podcast once. But for the most part, he's been pretty solid and
most
reliable.
Most days he comes in.
When he shows up and all of a sudden the callers have just – decided that
they turn on him, yeah, like a pack of wild animals.
Is it the NPR voice? Is that what's bothering them?
You never know.
Am I not angry enough?
I mean, this is a drive. Do we really need a reason to turn on someone?
No, not really.
Hear the conversation with D'Arvo there, how angry the two of us were in the 2017 season and the 2020 season. Did you get angry like that? You seem like pretty level-headed. You seem like the kind of guy that when things aren't going well and you feel like you're just, you know what, I'll just go find something else to do.
First of all, I remember listening to the Vontae reaction about the Florida bet. That was pretty special to listen to. 2017, I quit.
Was that
watching.
When I told Jay to STFU?
I think it was.
I remember that. I was at home. I had I think I had the coronavirus.
No, because we were COVID. No, we were in here.
For the Florida one? For 2020?
I guess we weren't, were we?
No. Definitely not.
Certainly not.
2017, I just, at a certain point, I quit watching because I was just so frustrated. I was like, because every time I'm watching it, that's when I get frustrated. But 2020, man, I don't even remember how I felt about that. I think I blocked most of that year out. I get more angry in the moment of watching it and seeing us falling apart rather than the aftermath. When I see the team slowly falling apart, when I see Garantano calling his own number in Tuscaloosa, those are the moments I get angry. But outside of that, once the game's over, I'm just numb. So
hopefully we don't have any of those feelings this year. Hopefully we don't have the unexpected agony. And this is not a make or break year. As much as, you know, we had this conversation yesterday about what's the most important game in Florida. And, you know, I hate to be an absolutist about just about anything, but particularly like a coach in his second year, there shouldn't be anything absolute. Like unless he goes on a drunken bender or does something like where you have to fire him, like there should be nothing, like short of going 3-9 this year, there should be no world where we're talking about Jeremy Pruitt's job security. But that being said,
Jeremy Pruitt.
You look at Florida and did I say Pruitt?
You did.
Yeah, you said Jeremy Pruitt.
We talking. He gets in my head, that guy. And now he's talking again. Why are you talking again, Jeremy Pruitt? Just go away. So, all that being said, you look at Florida, that is a dumpster fire program right now. You got them at home. You got to win that game. I hate to be like that, Josh Heupel. You just got to win that game. You have to, man. So, I do think you can say that. All right, so the thing, Ben Joyce, we had the classic Eastern Time, Central Time mix-up, so we're going to have him on in about an hour.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. The volunteer fireman is going to join the festivities this afternoon. He must be getting ready for the draft somewhere. That's what those guys do. They take off and go get ready for the draft. Or maybe he's playing in that one of those leagues, one of those summer leagues. I saw where a bunch of our guys are scattered all over the country. Everybody's playing in one of those leagues, even the pitchers.
Where is Burke?
Burke is in the Cape Cod League.
He's been having a lot of success from what I understand.
Oh, man.
That guy's going to be good, isn't he?
Gonna be.
You still contend that you'd stand in the box with Joyce on the mound? I'll even give you a choice, him or his twin.
Sure. He didn't hit anybody this year, did he?
I thought he did.
I know he hit the umpire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude
like
a concussion. Galoosh. Yeah. No, I'd jump in there. I'd take my hacks. 100 pitches, just Ben Joyce fastballs right down the middle. You think you
talking
could put
like
one
between,
in? Not, you think you could put one in play?
No.
No?
No. You couldn't either.
Just fastballs right down the middle, 100 of them? Like, at some point, you could just, like,
no,
basically bunt the ball into play,
no,
right? No?
No. Not Joyce.
100 times. Like, Marcus could do it 100 times. I mean,
I'll find the video, but it's fascinating to me. When you're trying to hit somebody that throws this hard, it's not just Ben. Chase Burns, I mean, obviously he doesn't throw 100+, but consistently most of our starters this year pitched high 90s. Before the ball even leaves their hand, you've already need to have decided whether or not you're going
to
swing.
Yeah, you got 100 chances. So you got like 20 or 30 swings to kind of get the timing down. You don't even have to you just hold your bat up there. I mean, you saw like how far that dude from Tennessee Tech hit the home run off of him. I mean, that guy's swinging. Like, you're just holding the bat out there. Like, you get a piece of it.
Now,
You might chip it off and end up breaking your nose or shattering your eye socket.
I swear to God, I'm not just saying it just because I love arguing with you, which I do. But pretty much everybody that I know that knows anything about baseball just laughed when I asked them about it. And they
who did you ask about this?
Rusty Enzer.
You asked Rusty if one of us could 100 pitches.
Oh, not one of us. I knew better. I said, do you think Russell could? Yeah.
In 100 pitches?
I can't remember if it was
100. So you've already asked Rusty Enzer the question I just made up 1 minute ago?
No, we've talked about this in the past. We argued about this.
No, we had a completely different ridiculous argument about catching a ball that he threw.
We've literally been talking about this for 60 seconds. Here was a text I sent to him.
Fascinating.
Half an hour of just pure
radio gold right here.
You've accused me of being wrong and lying and acting like we're
not. I don't know what you're doing right now. You're just arguing with a brick wall.
No, I mean, that's because you've got the intelligence of one. You always put this stuff off on me, and you're the one who claimed it.
Right.
You claimed on air that you could catch a Ben Joyce fastball.
Yeah. Go ahead. Read your text with your private text with Rusty. I'm sure
I'm
he appreciates
not.
That.
I just that was a question, or that was what you said.
If I could catch a ball,
if you could catch a Ben Joyce fastball, and you said yes.
Yeah.
Nobody agrees.
So now we're in a. We've gone from 100. Yes, yes, Marcus. I know. It's
nobody
a lot.
Agrees.
It's a lot.
So we've taken the poll.
We've taken the poll,
and it's 100% yes. No.
Oh man,
I'd take that as a poll question. Whether you could hit, if you could hit at least one out of 100 pitches. I mean, I'm no baseball guy, but I have to imagine one out of 100. It's. I mean,
there's no way. I mean, I guess you might get lucky and make contact with one just blindly swinging.
That's what I think. If he's getting 100 pitches, I think Russ could absolutely hit at least one. I'd even venture
to
say more
than
one.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Marcus. Bear makes it sound like it's Mission Impossible. Like I'm going out there with a toothpick, blindfold. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, like middle-aged suburban dad. Do I think you can get a hit off a future Major League Baseball pitcher? No, I don't. There's literally only one human being on the planet that's thrown harder than this kid. I wouldn't stand in there with Chapman. He's crazy.
So the SEC has released its basketball opponents for this year in conference. Tennessee, of course, you have the three rotating home-and-home series. You got Kentucky, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Volunteers will also face Auburn in a home-and-home this year. Dates, times, TV information will be released at a later date. But we do know Tennessee's opponents now in conference play. We know most of the non-conference opponents as well. Vols are going to host Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Mizzou at Thompson Bowling this year. They will play at Florida, LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. So there are your nine games to go with the six rotate, or the I guess eight, including Auburn home and home series for the season. Pretty good schedule that Rick Barnes is assembling here. They'll play Texas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge again. That game will happen here in Knoxville after the Volunteers lost the heartbreaker, the rapid comeback at the end of the game, just falling a hair short as Josiah Jordan-James's three ball rimmed out at the end.
Everything changed. That whole team, like that was like a crossroads game.
It was.
And that comeback really never stopped from there.
Kind of found their identity after that point.
What was the next game after? Was that the infamous Florida game?
I have to go back and look. Not sure. Maryland's on the schedule this year. They play that game in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. They're in the battle for Atlantis. Field there includes Butler, BYU, Dayton, Kansas, NC State, Southern Cal, and Wisconsin. A home and home with Arizona.
Do we have any Big Ten teams outside of
Maryland?
Maryland? I guess Wisconsin.
Not unless you play Wisconsin and Atlantis. You've got Arizona, a home and home there, so that will be at Arizona after beating them here this year. And you play Colorado in a neutral site game in Nashville.
Do you think that we should maybe schedule more Big Ten games regular season?
Sure. I mean, we've played a lot. We had a home and home with Wisconsin here recently.
I'd like to do a home and home with Michigan.
We need to get that monkey off our back, man.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
It's to the point where there's kind of a mental block there. What I wanted to ask with Auburn playing those two games, after beating Auburn at home in Knoxville, taking care of Jabari Smith and the Tigers, because we had one of those things going on with them in basketball where it was just like there was a mental block there.
Very similar to Florida in football.
Yeah, there was a thing. I don't know what it is. It's hard to a curse, a hex, whatever you want to call it. It's just a thing. We had a thing there with Auburn, it felt like. Did we get rid of that, or you have to beat them a few more times?
You probably need to beat them a few more times, but it's also – I don't think it's so much of an us thing as it's a weird thing with Rick Barnes and Pearl. Pearl seems to always get the better of Coach Barnes, but then you turn right back around and he dominates Cal.
Yeah, it's
I mean, do you ever think in a million years we'd own Kentucky the way we own Kentucky right now in basketball?
I mean, we've always beaten them. I mean, we've always had more success, I feel like, against them than just about anybody in the league. Like, even going back to – I mean, I remember Wade Houston beating them a couple of times, I feel like. Don DeVoe would beat them. I don't think – Kevin O'Neill ever beat them, but Jerry Green certainly did.
Mears was 500 with them, wasn't he?
Feel like Buzz had a couple of wins. Like, Tennessee's always beaten them, but it has gone to another level. I mean, Rick Barnes, obviously, I have to go back and look at the updated record, but he's got a winning record against Kentucky. And if Ray Mears going 500 against them is the gold standard as far as that rivalry, I mean, Rick Barnes is obviously on pace to be the most successful coach against Kentucky and Tennessee basketball history.
That buys a lot of equity for me personally when it comes to Barnes.
It's a great rivalry, man, Tennessee and Auburn. That's really
gotten
elevated,
hot,
man. Yeah, it's taken off, and there's a mutual respect there, too. There's a weird thing with our fans, but I think Pearl and Barnes, it's not like Pearl and Calipari didn't like each other, and you could tell it, and they put on that fake, oh, we get along, but you could tell, like, they don't like each other. Like, Rip Barnes gets along with absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
And Bruce Pearl's no different. And even though Bruce Pearl has had the upper hand for the majority of that series, like, you don't get the – one of the things I like about Barnes is just his confidence. And it doesn't affect him. Like, he just – he believes in what he's doing and his program and thinks he's going to win. And it's one of the things I appreciate about him. Another note, Tennessee has hired Lucas Campbell, former walk-on from CAK, as its director of recruiting this week. He rejoins the staff after spending last year with Des Oliver as their director of basketball operations up there at ETSU. So Barnes poaching one of Des's guys. I guess it's Barnes's guy at the end of the day.
Well, his tree's really spreading his branches around college basketball.
Yeah, he is. Get TJ the Kentucky fan in here next. TJ, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? Not sure if you've seen the news this morning, but Freddie Freeman's fired his agent, said he's not happy in L.A. Do you think he comes back to Atlanta?
I did not see that.
I thought I saw something about it, but, I mean, how's he going to go back to Atlanta?
I mean, they've
moved on, dude.
Yeah, because didn't he – I think he signed a six-year contract with L.A.?
Yeah, Dodgers aren't letting Freddie Freeman go.
I don't know if he can get out of that.
Isn't Olson – I mean, I saw a side-by-side comparison of Matt Olson and Freddie Freeman's numbers, and they're very similar. Now, Freeman is a little bit better. He is having a little bit better season. There are a lot of Braves fans that wouldn't make the trade, and Olson's a little bit younger – he's 27. Freddie's 32. I mean, would you want to make the trade? I realize that he tugs at your heartstrings, and he was a Brave for a long time, and he won a world championship and all that stuff. But aren't you better with the player who's very similar and 5 years younger?
Oh yeah, you can't go back. I know the heartbreak story, Freddie Freeman this, Freddie Freeman that, but you can't go back, especially with the age difference. And I think Matt Olson has more pop than Freddie Freeman does.
It's sad, isn't it? It's a sad story that – I mean, this was just a weird weekend. If you saw his press conference and the games and everything, and, you know, he had a couple of key hits in the series clincher on Sunday. Like, he played hard and was instrumental in the Dodgers winning the series. But – you can tell that he regrets the way it was handled, and he wants to be in Atlanta, and a lot of Atlanta fans still want him. It's just a sad situation.
It really is. But anyway, hey, y'all have a good one, and we'll talk to you later, man.
Thank you, TJ. Yeah, Freeman signed 6 years, $162 million to the Dodgers. His baseball money, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Olson signed an 8-year, $168 million contract with the Braves.
This guy, he's not going anywhere. He's under contract.
I mean, I guess you could work out a trade and throw in some cash or prospects to make up whatever the difference is, but
I don't see the Braves doing it.
I don't know that either team wants to do it, really.
I just wanted to do a little research.
Wait a minute. Research.
Yes.
We do our research. Have you done your research?
So we were talking about, you know, how we've been able to play against Kentucky recently under Barnes. If this is correct, it looks like Bruce Pearl was 4-9 against Kentucky at his time at Tennessee.
13.
Because the first game shows was in 2006, obviously, and then 2011. But I think they had a different head coach before. So I was looking at that.
Yeah, he played Gillespie the first year.
Correct. Yeah, Gillespie was there, I think, even.
Did we beat them twice or just once? I know we won up there in Rupp, Pearl's first year. I want to say, did we lose at home right at the end of the year to them?
I can't remember us ever sweeping Kentucky when Pearl was here.
2009, we got swept. No, I don't think we ever swept them.
No.
According to this site, so.
And Barnes has done it twice now?
At least.
Yeah.
We didn't do it this year. They beat the hell out of us up there.
Oh, we looked. That was our worst game of the year.
I remember that. We had a watch party at Walk-Ons. Everybody's all fired up, excited, and it was just.
Oh, that was a night.
It's not good.
Kind of had a blow up, didn't you?
Do what?
At Walk-Ons that night? I heard you had to leave. You got so wound up.
Oh, that was. Was that? No, I don't think so. That was another. Was that Texas?
It may have been.
Yeah. Might be why we haven't been invited back.
You and watch parties. You're the last person I would say needs to, like, a watch party environment. It's just not your thing, man.
I'm sociable. I get along as long as the team cooperates. I mean, it's not my fault.
Yeah, I felt like we had.
It's not my fault every time I show up to a watch party, the team just.
Tennessee decides to.
We had a good time at Craven, I felt like, you know.
That was a good one. I'm on a 1-0 watch party roll. That was the watch party that brought us Marcus Young.
Yeah.
Wasn't I sociable there? I was not embarrassing anybody. My behavior was fine.
Yeah, but we can't guarantee, obviously, that Tennessee's
going to
win.
There's no guarantees in life. What do you want?
Every watch party.
There's no guarantees that I won't show my rear end. Bring shame
maybe
and disgrace
not the only person
upon
on the
station.
Show needs some anger management.
You ever get mad during a game, Marcus?
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine Marcus mad.
Me too, man. I want to see it. I don't know. I mean, he might be the guy who's like, you know, maybe we shouldn't joke about this given the current climate. But you ever worry about going postal, Marcus?
No.
Whoa, there was a big pause there.
Well, because.
Wow.
Wow. When it comes to sports. Football, I can get angry because I expect better of them. And when
they
don't
say
succeed,
it's the quiet ones you got to watch.
When it comes to hockey, when they lose, I just get sad. But no, I don't take it out on people.
Huh? We're standing outside Knoxville disgruntled radio host Marcus Young's house. His colleagues say he was always really quiet.
There's a difference between being quiet and
interview
being...
with Bear. I always liked him. I don't know what happened there. Never saw this coming. Not in a million years.
I feel like that's the opposite. I think Bear would be like, I knew it was going to happen. The moment he stepped into that building, I knew.
We've had some guys sit in that chair over the years that always feel kind of like borderline dangerous.
I'm sorry. Were you telling an anger story? We got to take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Come back. I want to hear your great sports anger stories. That might be our hot question today. I need some good stories of just people going berserk during a game.
Have people calling for that.
Losing control, making a fool of themselves. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. All right, it is the Drive Fan Run Radio. All right, Marcus, tell me your story. I want to know, when did Marcus Young just complete?
I'm really mad right now. I think I'm going to have to take out my anger and frustration in a somewhat physically violent manner.
Public.
I mean, the best I can think of is, like, the more recent one would have been against Florida on the road in the swamp. I can't remember what year it was, but it was when their ridiculous Hail Mary were mm-hmm. Shoop.
Yeah,
like
17, isn't it?
Was that 17?
No, 15.
Because that was when Shoop had like apparently just didn't expect a Hail Mary.
No, it was 17. Yeah,
yeah.
Was that which one was the one
Felipe
where we
Franks.
Had? A,
that was the year I started just giving up at that point.
Janitors had a spy on
that was
Florida's,
yeah.
Florida's quarterback when he was playing on one leg. Basically,
I remember it was the
it's
one
a
where
brilliant
they threw,
decision there defensively.
They threw a Hail Mary like last minute is what it was, and it was like we thought there was no reason we should have lost that.
Yeah.
And I was on a car ride with my ex, and we were driving somewhere, and we're trying to get to the hotel, and I was just listening to the game. She didn't care about sports, but I was like, please let me listen to this. I need to know what's going to happen. And by the time we got to the hotel, it was like the last play. I got it on, turned the TV on. Right when I turned it on was when the pass was in the air.
Beautiful.
And I just watched Florida catch it, score, and I was like.
Incredible.
Alex says, you're letting Peyton take all the blame when it's really you at these watch parties, Russ.
Wow.
We won my last watch party. I'm on a win streak. 1-0.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about the watch parties is you don't do it for Tennessee versus Ball State. You do it for a big game when people will want to come out and get together and hang out. And it's very similar to the Peyton curse. Like, Peyton doesn't show up to see us play Tennessee Tech. He shows up at the big games. It's not a curse. It's not magic.
You just don't need to watch Tennessee games with other people around. Not in a public setting.
Are we going to do something for the Florida game this year?
You are way too volatile. Way too volatile.
I go hard, man.
Go hard.
It's sports. It's competition. It's Tennessee. We get 12 games a year. I want to win them all. I apologize for absolutely nothing.
I mean, you could hear you outside at that one, the Music City Bowl one.
See, I've heard you frustrated on voluntary reactions before.
Oh, you've never seen him fully unhinged, buddy.
The one that's still, I mean, it's not about the actual game, but when you got by who was it that got you with a fake tweet?
Vulcan.
Yeah, Vulcan got you. Like, I remember how upset you were. I can't imagine at a game when you were angry.
I wasn't angry. I was disappointed in myself. I was embarrassed. But
angry.
I remember a basketball one. I was really angry when we lost to Memphis at home.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being really upset about that. Losing to a rival when you should beat them, that's always the worst. And I think that's what the crux of the Florida situation for a lot of fans is that it's one thing. Nobody expects Tennessee to beat Alabama or Georgia this year.
Mm-mm.
And if we do, it'll be a great upset and one of the great moments in football history, and we'll celebrate and all that stuff. But if you don't, like, we'll talk about it. We'll analyze. Here's what went wrong. Here's what we got to do. Newsflash, get better players. Go ahead and tell you what you got to do. But after that, people will move on. It's not going to stick in your craw. Nobody's going to remember the you know, details of the loss to Alabama last year because they were just better than Tennessee. Nobody's going to remember the details of that Georgia game last year because it just was what it is. The reason you remember the Florida quarterback on one leg in 2015 or the Hail Mary in 2017 is because Tennessee was just as good, if not better, than those teams. And they should have won those games. And that's what sticks with you is like when you should have won and you didn't.
100%. I mean, we should – Butch going winless against – what's his name? Crazy Eyes. Muschamp. You know, he should have had a pretty decent streak, and he'd probably still be our coach.
Yeah, yeah.
If he had beaten Florida at 17, that was where it turned on him.
This is one of those years, too. Florida's going to have one, maybe two losses. They might have two losses coming into this game. They're breaking in a new coach. There's turmoil, internal dissension already going on down there in Gainesville. And Tennessee, whether they beat Pitt or not, is going to be a home favorite. And fans are going to show up expecting a party, expecting a win, expecting a great occasion in Neyland Stadium. And if you don't deliver, it's going to be
kind of a bummer.
Another brick in the wall, as Pink Floyd sung. All right, Marcus has the top four at four when we continue. Ben Joyce coming up in hour number two. Really looking forward to chatting with him. And we'll get more of your phone calls as well. Stay with us. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.